You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello once again to the Irish Racing Podcast here at William Hill. It's Sunday, July the 15th. Andy Holding looking at seven races for you this afternoon at Killarney. The pick of the action comes in the shape of the Cairn Rouge Stakes, which is a listed contest at 3:30 over a mile for the fillies, in which 10 are set to go to post. Plenty of other good races on the card. Very competitive handicap comes up at 3 o'clock. And we round off by a small but select field in the 5:10, but we get a chance to see the clash of the two fillies at Dawn Hoofer against Birth of Venus on their rematch following that epic battle they had at Gowran Park a few months ago.
Race 1.
We begin with the first race, which is a mile maiden for the two-year-olds at 150. And Anthony van Dijk is likely to be a very warm order here, considering how eye-catchingly he ran first time out at the Curragh, very much in keeping with how a lot of Aidan O'Brien's first-time two-year-olds do perform. He was at towards the back door, not particularly given in a hard time of things until asked to pick up inside the last couple of furlongs, and without absolutely taking off, he ran on quite willingly in the latter stages under a fairly tender ride to come home quite nicely down the outside of the field to finish a respectable seventh behind the shock 20-1 winner, Clute. Likely to improve quite significantly on that performance. Up in trip now, this colt by Galileo might just have too many guns for Yonkers, who ran in a similar fashion to his main market rival at Garland debut. He was actually sent off a 6-4 favourite that time, Joe Lyons' charge, and unfortunately missed the break. And if you get behind at Garin into that short run at the first bend and you end up being a long way back, it's hard to make up the ground. So you could probably upgrade his performance, and he very much does rate the danger. But I'll go with Anthony van Dijk, who is expected to come on quite considerably for that first outing.
Race 2.
On to the 220. And a couple that remain of interest here are the two informed runners signing off and Queen Rabab. Queen Rabab was a good second of the day on the all-weather at Dundalk, only just narrowly failing to get up in the closing stages when waiting for the day just got first run on him. I certainly think that given her overall profile and form, she's likely to run her race here. But I'd just probably just slightly favour the Bulger horse, because she improved quite markedly the other day in winning at winning quite readily at the Dublin track. I like the way he stayed on in the latter stage. She had a nice turn of foot, good attitude, and he left behind, it has to be said, one or two slightly disappointing performances prior to that. So clearly the application of a tongue tie and decent ground has finally worked the oracle with this three-year-old colt. So signing off. Hopefully we'll give Jim Bulger another winner, because that yard is in particularly good form at the present moment in time.
Race number 3.
On to the 3 o'clock then, the second of the competitive handicaps here this afternoon over a mile. This one's for the older horses, and I do like the way that Tony the Gent is accumulating his season so far this season. Without winning, has to be said, but he's second at Nace behind Marshall Jennings. In particular, he's run at the Curragh last time out in a very competitive 0-99 handicap. Certainly catch the eye in the context of this race. He was actually last with two furlongs to run at the Curragh the other day, but he powered home down the outside to get within an agonising half a length of the well-fancied winner, Band of Outlaws, who is a progressive three-year-old from the Joseph O'Brien stable. He's also run right well at this track on his only previous visit. He's got a lovely draw around the inside in stall one. If Colin King can maintain his position going down the back and into the top bend, and given the way he finishes off his races, generally speaking, he should really relish this uphill climb to the line. So Tony the Gent, worthy selection, well, worthy favourite and a confident selection there in race number three.
Race four.
On to the 3:30, then probably my best bet of the day here at Killarney, runs in the shape of Ship of Dreams from the informed Joseph O'Brien stable. Of course, had three winners at Dundalk the other day. This horse was second in the Group 3 Irish 1000 Guineas trial at Leopardstown back in May. And she was aimed at one of the most competitive handicaps of Royal Ascot, the Sandringham Stakes, only to find her path blocked rather unfortunately on several particular occasions in the latter stages of that race. Had she got a clearer run, there's no doubt in my mind that she probably would have finished in the first three. And that form does stand out here in a race where several have got a little bit to prove. She certainly is definitely going the right way in my eyes, and available to back about 4-1, 9-2 this morning. I do think that's a decent each way bet there for Ship of Dreams. Obviously the danger appears to come from Mickey Halford's Petticoat, who was a good winner down in the Curragh the last time out. And I do like her attitude. I think she's quite a tough little filly, that Cape Cross 4-year-old, that Petticoat. But I'm going to stick with Ship of Dreams for the 3-year-olds. I like what I saw at Ascot, and she's certainly got the form in the book there to go well in that listed contest.
Race 5.
On to the 4:05. Not a particularly strong race here. Several of these have got similar profiles, having finished second on their last outing or two. An Active Approach is the pick of the trio, which have got the form figures to suggest they are a little bit frustrating. But in all fairness to Active Approach, her run last time out at the Curragh was a very, very commendable one, considering what has gone on after that race. She finished second to a horse called Lucius Tiberius, who's gone on to win a couple of times subsequently. And so is Lethal Power from the Johnny Murta stable, who was fourth in that race. They've both advertised the qualities of that form. I didn't think she did too much wrong on her previous two starts at Down Royal and Sligo, respectively. Mile 3, not a problem. Baldy horses are in good nick. Fast ground, not a problem either. So lots to like about Active Approach's chances here today, and price very much reflects that in the 4:05.
Race number 6.
On to the 4:35, probably one of the worst maidens you're likely to see unless one of the Unrace Brigade are any good. May's Run is the favourite here, probably just on sufferance. And by process elimination, you'd probably just go with her, but she wouldn't be a confident choice. She was really good the first day at Leopardstown when finishing third behind Nelson and Christopher Robin. That would give her almost an unassailable advantage here. But two subsequent performances were slightly disappointing, particularly the last one at Cork. But she was dropped back in trip, and she was racing on soft ground, and the run before was on soft ground as well. So maybe a decent surface might just help this gelding by Authorised. And he's probably, like I said, just about the pick here in what really is a bad maiden by any standards.
And the final race.
On to the last race then, the 5:10, and as said at the top of the piece, we get the clash of the big two in the betting here. It's the rematch of Bertha Venus and Dawn Hoofer following their close encounter at Garran back on the 21st of June. On that occasion, Henry de Bromhead's 3-year-old filly by High Chaparral came out on top, and it was a good performance as well because she made up a lot of ground in the latter stages, having seemingly plenty to do. And the feature of that race was how well that Dawn Hoofer travelled into that contest. And to be fair to Dawn Hoofer, she's very much gone the right way since that defeat. And I suppose at the prices this morning, sort of 3 to 130, you could make a concrete enough case out for her, maybe turning the form around, because she's had a couple of more runs and fitness is very much on her side. She won at the Curragh next time out, beating a good field, including several older horses like Azuri, who was well fancied. And she was just outstayed the other day when given a really good ride by Kevin Manning from the front. But that last furlong just caught her out, and Tarzani wore her down in the latter stages. She's dropped back here to mile 3. So that extra 2 furlongs she's got to cover here might just play into her strength. So, like I say, it's probably more of a price set thing here, really, rather than, you know, absolutely suggesting that we're guaranteed to get the win here out of Dawn Hoofer and turn the form around. But at 3-1, I do think she represents good value. If the race turns into a tactical battle, she can lead. And if something else wants to go on, that she can just start racing behind. So she has got a little bit of an advantage here out of the field, I think, Dawn Hoofer. And like I say, she's definitely worth a bet there in the final race. Thanks very much for listening to this edition of the Irish Racing Podcast. Hopefully you can join me again on Monday, when we're going to be taking a look at a mixed card at Killarney, beginning at 6 o'clock and ending at 9 o'clock. 7 races there, so hopefully you can tune in tomorrow. Until then, it's goodbye for me, and have a really good Sunday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.